Speaker, when the Prime Minister wanted to take military action in Libya, most of us supported him because there was a clear moral imperative. If we had not acted, there would have been loss of tens of thousands of lives very quickly after our inaction. But that clear moral imperative does not stand today in this action that we are countenancing. Is evil. But that's not our casus belli. Is evil. But that's not our casus belli. Our casus belli is the monstrous crime of killing hundreds, maybe more, of civilians with nerve gas. But chemical weapons are not the first monstrous crime of this regime. 100,000 at least have been killed in the civil war, and most of those would have been civilians. Now, death by dismemberment, burning, being crushed under a falling building, gangrene, all the outcomes of the use of conventional weapons actually are no better than death by nerve gas. These are monstrosities however they are delivered. So, immoral, as against legal terms, many will quite rightly, and they have already in this debate, said, why now? Why intervene now? Now, to press its case, the government and the American government, now supported by the JIC, have asserted in effect that the gassing of a large number of Syrian civilians could only have been carried out by the Assad regime. Perhaps. There are three possibilities. Number one, of course, probably the most likely, is that the nerve gas was deployed by Assad. But even the JIC says this is an irrational and incomprehensible act. And I think my honourable friend for New Forest pinned that perfectly. It could have been done by a rogue or panicky military unit in the Syrian army without Assad's knowledge. That may be the most likely. Or it could have been done by the Syrian rebels with the direct aim of dragging the West into the war. These are the only people who actually have a clear motive that fits this crime. Now, JIC sort of discounted that. But there are many reasons for us to worry about this concern. We do not want to be conned into a war, in effect, by actions designed just to do that. And there are plenty of facts around, reported that the UN representative for human rights for Syria thought there was concrete evidence of rebels having sarin gas. Reports that the Turkish authorities arrested 12 al-Nusra fighters with 2 kilograms of sarin gas. Other reports that Hezbollah fighters are in Beirut hospitals suffering from the effects of sarin gas. Now, I think a number of people, most notably my honourable friend, the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, said we must have clear evidence to show this House that if there is a casus belli, it's real, not confected, not constructed. And that means perhaps a more aggressive disclosure of intelligence than we would normally have. We must consider, given where we've been before in this House, that our intelligence as it stands might just be wrong, because it was before, and we've got to be very, very hard in testing. Now, the government says that...
Would my honourable friend allow me on that point?
Yes, I will. Yeah.
I mean, it is impossible to imagine how the rebels would have the capacity to shell a single location from 7 different locations, which is what occurred on that occasion. And do we honestly think our own security services have also not learned the lesson from Iraq, that they are extremely cautious about the advice they make public on which decisions are going to be made? Yeah, yeah. Shouldn't we have faith in these devoted and courageous public servants instead of joining the panic, the post-Iraq panic, that is paralysing this country?
If I had 10 minutes to take my honourable friend through the forensics, I probably could. But there's plenty of forensic evidence that will come out of the UN investigation and out of other data which we can obtain by other methods. So it's not a question of panic, it's a question of getting the facts right before you act. It's very simple when you are going to do things which will lead to the death of people, civilians in particular, you should get your facts right first. And on the question of getting facts right, brings me the Deputy Prime Minister on the Today programme this morning, talking about chemical weapons and saying that, let me quote him exactly, it's the first time in close to a century we have seen, in Syria he means, the ever more frequent use of chemical weapons. I recommend he speaks to our American allies. The CIA have recently declassified and published their information on Iraq's use of chemical weapons in the Iran-Iraq war, in which the Americans, the West, provided intelligence data in order for the Iraqis to be able to target their activities more effectively, killing 50,000 Iranians. Now, how is our stance now going to be seen on the Iranian street? What are the pressures going to be on the Iranian government when we make our holier-than-thou arguments about chemical warfare now? I do not have time to conclude the arguments I want to put. I'll make one last point, and it's this. Putin has said the reason he provided anti-aircraft missiles to the Syrians was to, in his words, balance the war and to prevent external intervention. What will his response be if we attack Syria? His response will be to feed this war more weapons, more deaths, more on our
George Galloway.